coming up on Patriots This Week. As Patriots fans saluted the unexpected odyssey of 2001, Tom Brady was attaining another milestone.
He becomes the winningest quarterback in NFL history.
You know, it's always been about winning, and I've been very fortunate to be on a lot of great teams.
Tom Brady has now gone where no quarterback has gone before. Yet this final frontier won't be his last act.
It's gone really fast. The seasons go fast and the years have gone faster. And, yeah, time's flying.
So now it's bring on the Ravens. After an October stumble, the purple and black are back, playing their best football of the year.
Big challenge for us this week. A lot to prepare for.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Last weekend, the Patriots remembered and celebrated 2001, and their quarterback went out and recorded victory number 201 as the Pats defeated the Los Angeles Rams. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy alongside Paul Prillo from Patriots Football Weekly, subbing for my radio partner Scott Zolak and Matt Chatham, a three-time Super Bowl champion. And we'll start with the new guy on this set, Paul.
So I just have to interrupt you and stuff? Wow. Oh.
I like the energy. Yeah. Going in the right direction. Well, let's talk about energy in a good start for the Patriots on Sunday. Opening drive, LeGarrette Blount, James White, Deion Lewis, three different backs, three carries to start
that
drive.
First three plays. Yeah, I mean, it was terrific. And you thought that there was a chance. You know, Los Angeles has struggled a little bit defensively stopping the run, but the fourth and one play, you get a big play like that in the running game. Matt, as a former player, I'm sure you know, the offensive linemen, sort of like to get involved and kind of, put some points on the board like that without having all be about Brady, but certainly a big play to start off the game.
I thought it was interesting just in that it was a dissimilar drive from a lot of what else you saw in the game. I mean, they went out and it was a big LeGarrette drive and you all saw their two-back packages, things like that. But then you get into other parts of the game and it's back to the 11 stuff where it's three wide receivers on the field. So you keep them guessing. I think it was sort of an unknown and we all kind of knew that going into this game. The Rams had played the best defense in the NFL for a month block and then had a terrible game against New Orleans. So it's one of those, who are you going to get, you know? So you kind of come out and we'll go with what we know we do well, set the tone. Oh, wow, we pulled one off. We snuck one at the end. And then you sort of settle back into what we're going to be as a front runner because you presume you'll score as a Patriot. So,
in overview of the Patriots offense, with the Rams defense, there were concerns. Brady's playing, of course, at less than full strength, full health with the knee. And, of course, there was no Rob Gronkowski. How much of that was reflected in the way the Patriots approached the game at the outset?
Well, certainly, as Matt said, when they shifted to the pass-heavy formations, a lot of screens. I mean, I can't really remember a game. They had to have at least a dozen screens in that game, and quite frankly, that wasn't all that effective. I think they were probably expecting more blitzing from a Greg Williams defense. I just felt like the Rams did a nice job actually tackling in space. Martellus Bennett had a couple for very little yardage, and both White and Lewis, two elusive guys in the open field, weren't able to make a lot of yards after the catch. But that was what I felt like maybe was the first sign of an adjustment without Gronk, is let's see if we can utilize some pressure coming at us. We'll try to hit him with some screens. And unfortunately for Josh McDaniels, I don't think a lot of pressure came. They didn't blitz a whole lot.
You had a couple important conversions out of White and Lewis, but you didn't get the game breakers. And I think that they'll really be helpful in that regard when you get into the right down and distance and you want the mismatch on the linebacker. It'd be great if it breaks, but you know what? You need those 3 yards really badly because you sort of put yourself against the wall. The one thing that was sort of interesting to me is as this game went on, there were series where different players sort of majored. There was an Edelman series where he was a real high target guy. Some of it was the catch and run. Some of it's sort of working over the middle field, the deep end cut stuff. And then there was a Malcolm Mitchell series where it was like, well, okay, this is our guy now. We're going to really overload him, and until they shift coverage, he's going to get catch and run on slants when they play off coverage. He's going to get some of the deeper stuff, deep comebacks. We're going to really go to this guy, and it's chess, and football is always that way. Then they're going to make their adjustments on the sideline, then we're going to spend a series concentrating somewhere else.
You know, and Bob, on Mitchell, I think one of the things that's really fun to see is I think you're starting to see that confidence with Brady. He's going to him more and more often. I think 3 weeks in a row he established a career high in receptions, but it's not just the amount. It's the situations, like, you know, it's third and 10 here. I'm going to go back shoulder on the sideline to a guy who, let's face it, you wouldn't expect Brady to have that amount of trust in. He's really developing. He's coming on the last month or so.
Another nice issue there, too, is he had a drop and he still went back.
Went
to
right back.
You don't always see that with young
players.
Thought
enough of him to chew him out.
Out of the way the Patriots started on offense, set up the defense for a successful day.
Well, you know, and it's going to be curious to see as we move forward how much, you know, the pressure that the Patriots were able to get, and certainly they did some different things to get that pressure that we haven't really seen a ton of, Morgan Ryan specifically coming out of the slot. I don't think you're going to see that a lot. I think the guy making his third career start, it makes sense that you know you can fluster this guy. They had no fear of Jared Goff, you know, ripping apart these blitzes. Being a little bit different with Joe Flacco and some of the guys, maybe even Ryan Tannehill, a guy that they have pressured a lot and have blitzed. I'd like to see how much of this is progress with the guys that they have on defense now that they know, the guys like Van Noy and McClellan that are settling into different roles. Are they comfortable with those guys enough now to know that they have the communication down and they can do a little bit more, or was it just because of the Rams and a very limited offense?
Well, one of the things you always look at, too, is you know, it's comfort level with the third corner sometimes in those situations, because the pressure release guy isn't always the first target. It's like, holy crap, here they come. I'm going to have to dump this inside. It might be back check down. So how good do you feel, like you said, Paul, with the back linebacker matchup, or how good do you feel on the slot corner matchup, which isn't necessarily Logan or necessarily, you know, Malcolm Butler. So, and I think that's where the Patriots defense is really evolving. We, you know, you'll see where it is a month from now. But Eric Rowe had a little hammy thing. We don't know if it, where he'll be at with that, but just understanding that that sort of 2-3-4 spot in the corner deal, that's where your comfort level is. How much do I want to pressure?
Do you think that Jabal Sheard has answered some of the questions that arose after he was left home from San Francisco?
Yeah, I thought he was more active in this game than I've seen him. What I'm starting to wonder about is less more with him. You know, last year, he was really the third guy behind Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich, and he was able to be really productive. I think he had eight-plus sacks or whatever the number ended up being, and everybody sort of extrapolated that. Well, he can replace Chandler Jones because he's going to be a full-time guy now. Some guys can't do that. Some guys are better in short doses. What we've seen the last few weeks with Sheard is a smaller number of snaps, and I think at least against Los Angeles, more production.
And it's always good to not have those 10 plays in a 70-play deck where you maybe weren't quite yourself, especially with the pass rushing role. And the pass rushing guys, when you can roll guys through there, it actually makes you better. And I think you start to value that as a player. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, I had the same amount of tackles. I had that one sack I was looking at, the play I made. Those other 10 plays, they may not actually help me get there.
Afterwards, offense lamented some missed opportunities. They finished drives later with field goals rather than touchdowns. But was there a silver lining to that?
You absolutely better believe it. I mean, the silver lining is your kicker was perfect. And they weren't just little chip shots. He has, you know, two 45-yarders and a 48-yarder. And the fear for me heading into December here, and obviously we're looking long-term into January, is does Gostkowski's struggles start to affect Bill Belichick's decision-making and Josh McDaniels' play calling? When you start getting 45-yard field goals that you pass up and go for it on fourth down, that's when it can be trouble.
So I think Steve is obviously one of the better kickers in the league, even with those three big kicks last week. And his misses, I think we obviously highlight him here because we're used to him just making everything. But he's still now moved back up to close to a top 10 kicker. So his volume of misses, and again, we went through this back in the day. People forget this, but Adam Vinatieri had 9 missed seasons, 8s, multiple 7s. He had all high volume kick misses, but he made the biggest kicks. And that's why I'll be there waving a flag at his Hall of Fame induction. But I think the big issue here is just stick with the guy, make the decision situationally, and it's a faith-based organization. You do a couple good plays, and hey, you're back in good grace.
And so another 10-win season in the books for the Patriots, who are poised to return to the postseason. The same cannot be said for the defending NFC champions. Back with more of Patriots This Week right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Kyle Van Noy. The 6'3", 243-pound linebacker made his biggest contribution yet against the Los Angeles Rams. Acquired in a trade with the Detroit Lions in October, the 25-year-old showed off his athleticism in making his first interception as a Patriot. And the second-round pick from Brigham Young University showed he's ready to contribute during New England's run for the playoffs. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
In the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, Patriots This Week continues. And Paul Prillo, on Sunday night, Cam Newton showed up in a turtleneck and therefore didn't get to wear the helmet for the first snap of the game as the Panthers suffered a lopsided loss.
He looked a lot better in a suit than I ever would. So, you know, and I understand there's rules. And I don't know all the details behind the scenes with Ron Rivera and what he's done with that Panthers team. But in sort of reading between the lines and listening and watching some of the fallout on Monday, I have to think this is not the first time that something like this has happened. And other guys on that team have been similarly disciplined for not wearing a tie. And someone even said, I don't know which talking head mentioned this, but that Rivera saw him that morning and said, you better get a tie. And he didn't.
Ron Rivera really went to bat for Cam Newton last year after he was heavily criticized for his conduct in the post-Super Bowl press conference.
Yeah, I felt like he's been bending over backwards for a while for Cam, so it's a little, it must be more to the story. Hey, man, you're a leader, and we're kind of getting to the point where people sometimes flee, right? You know, in seasons where things don't go well, and you see the leaders starting to just kind of do their own thing, that's bad. So sometimes coaches need to sort of make a statement. I'm guessing that's what it was. The oddball thing, though, I will say this. From a player standpoint, dress code stuff that's relating to on-field stuff is weird. It's usually dress code fine right? Yeah. Dress code don't play, that's a little oddball.
Right, lackluster Sunday night game, and worse than that on Monday. What about the effort by the Jets, or lack thereof?
Whoa.
You know, it's funny because I saw that coming, and I thought they put everything into – I thought right when Todd Bowles announced that Ryan Fitzpatrick would play against the Patriots, I said to myself, that makes no sense. This is just winding it up because the Patriots are coming. And I have no problem with that. I think that was the wise thing to do. It was a division game against one of your rivals. Put your best foot forward and do everything you can. And they did. They played hard in that game for the most part, except for Revis. And everybody else played hard. And I thought they played a good football game. I could see that crash and burn coming.
I looked at that defense and it was like, man, blown coverages, crossing routes. There's no one standing around anyone. They were starting some new young linebackers, or at least greater role type stuff. We're just blown. You know, Dwayne Allen looked like, looked like Gronk. And that's not a corner. That's not a quarterback issue. That's just... They looked asleep, and you usually don't see that from any NFL team.
And meanwhile, a few weeks removed from the marquee matchup of the Patriots and the Seahawks and that confrontation of Gronkowski and Earl Thomas, now both are done for the season.
Yeah, you know, that was unfortunate, and it was one of the sort of neat moments when you see them sort of, and I know the social media stuff we make a big deal of, but I thought that was kind of cool where, you know, Gronk is talking about, you know, one of the hardest hits he's ever taken in the NFL, and Earl Thomas is thanking him and hoping he's okay. It was... good, hard football. Matt, you must have been all excited. It was good, clean hits that weren't fined or flagged. Unfortunately, you know, it resulted in a big injury to Rob. And then just a couple weeks later, he collides with his own teammate in Cam Chancellor. And Earl Thomas winds out just the irony of that was striking.
What he does is so crucial to what they do. They rush well up front. They haven't had Bennett. They're presuming they'll get him back. But they need the rangy guy. Rangy, deep middle of the field guy that can be all over the place and make plays sideline to sideline, and the down guy that's aggressive. You start chipping away at things, and that sort of core personality goes away.
Back to prime time for the Patriots Monday night versus the Baltimore Ravens. We'll talk about it right after this on Patriots This Week.
Matt Chatham here for what we're calling the Chatham Shockboard. In the absence of Zoe, we're going to talk a little bit about a Ravens tight end, Dennis Pitta. He's a guy that works the middle of the field while it's stretched on the outside by Steve Smith and Mike Wallace, the vertical guy. We'll roll the tape here, 88 in the middle, Pitta the poor fool that doesn't jam this guy. You let him run free like this, never get a hand on him, build on the linebacker. He's going to make some play. He's not a guy to sleep on. Here again in the red zone, what's the common element? He does a double move and doesn't get touched. You have to jam this guy. They're really trying to create that vacancy in the middle of the field while they stretch and get attention to all their other wide receivers. Pitt is an efficient guy, a guy I say that's a little bit like a Jason Witten. He's not going to overwhelm you physically, but he's a guy who can make some plays. Fall asleep on Pitta, and he'll have two touchdowns, just like a week ago. There's your No Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
The Patriots are coming off a win over an unfamiliar foe in the Los Angeles Rams. And as we welcome you back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, time to talk about a team the Patriots know well, the Baltimore Ravens, and a typical Baltimore defense coming to Foxborough on Monday night, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't run on them. They've been at the top of the league in that department, and that's going to be interesting to me because without Gronkowski, you're sort of searching for different ways that the Patriots want to move the football consistently. Last week, that included, as you talked at the top, of running plays to three different running backs off the top. And I wonder how much Josh McDaniels wants to have that same kind of approach. My guess is it'll be different. A lot of short passes, a lot of quick stuff. And the two passing backs, I think, could be important here. White and Lewis, I think you want to get them maybe out in the flat. Make those Ravens linebackers chase them a little bit.
Yeah, I understand statistically the Ravens do great against the run, but I think you still have to because of what they want to do to you. If you just concede that part, I think you cause greater problems. The one issue I look at with the Ravens, and again, Dean Pease is my old coach, have a tremendous amount of respect for him. He's turned that group around quite a bit this year. They're giving up 17-2 a game. So are the Patriots. That's second in the league. So these guys have been real stingy in the scoring area. And obviously that's the most important part. What they do down there is really heavily safety dependent. Those are their guys. Eric Weddle and Ladarius Webb. Yep. Two rangy guys. They spin them a lot. They do a lot of different things with them. Oftentimes those guys are the responsible parties on the backside of plays. What that means sort of in the cutback area. And who does, you know, LeGarrette Blount, where's he like to go? Front side and then that backside cutback. So you'll see a lot of plays where it's sort of a race to that spot.
It's a much better secondary than the 2014 playoff team.
Yeah, and if they can keep Jimmy Smith healthy, I think that's a big key too, because they are turning over those cornerbacks a little bit, as you mentioned, and Webb has been a corner in the past who's now playing really a terrific safety. So that is an important part of it, and the turnovers always are important, but you know, it's which one of those things breaks. The Patriots never give it away, and the Ravens live off taking it away. So is it one of those deals, if there are no turnovers in the game, that's a huge advantage to the Patriots? I would say so.
It's that jamming the guys out of the backfield, right? Even though Upshaw and T-Sizzle and all these guys are pass rushers per se, you see them sort of doing the Team D thing where, you know, I'm not going to pass up the back and try to get a sack as Brady sends it away. They'll hit the back in the flat. So you'll see where we often are used to seeing White and Lewis just releasing them. Teams let them do it. This is a team that will try to beat those up. Why? To try to make Tom wait. And then they'll let the rush get there and make the longer developing route. So look for them to really tighten in that area. So a lot of those times where it's third and three and Tom loves to go to those dump-offs, the Ravens will make pains to take that away.
This is an experienced quarterback. He's been road-tested and passed with flying colors in the playoffs and in Foxborough, in particular Joe Flacco. Again, under a new offensive coordinator, how much has the offense of the Ravens evolved since Marty Morningweg took over play calling?
Joe Flacco, to me, is one of those guys that's extremely inconsistent. He can do it. And he's done it here in Foxborough. So if he's on and has one of those games, you could be in trouble. The problem for Baltimore is he's not on often enough. And that, to me, is, like I said, the million-dollar question.
We've been saying this for years. Joe throws punts, and you're going to have three, four, maybe five opportunities a game where he's thrown one up, a 50-50 ball that should have been thrown, that you're going to have an opportunity to make. And you go back sort of to the Patriot histories of losses against these guys. A lot of them roll down to that turnover differential where you didn't get that ball. I think he'll get the chance. Things have changed a little bit now, having Mike Wallace on the outside. Perriman, I don't know how much of him we'll see, but, you know, and Steve Smith sort of being the other veteran. But what they do is they try to keep the middle of the field clear, work on the outsides, let Pitta work a little on the inside. There's a little bit of running game with Terrence West, but it's a modest output offense.
Patriots and the Ravens Monday night should be a great game and a great atmosphere in Foxborough. Paul and Matt are back to tell you about it with their predictions right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Jamison Crowder should continue his outstanding season in Philadelphia this week. The second-year wideout has become a go-to target of Kirk Cousins. Start him against the Eagles this week. But keep Frank Gore on your bench. The Colts will not be able to find much running room in Houston on a short week against a stout run defense. Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco has had good success against the Patriots. The Baltimore quarterback is coming off a huge game against the Dolphins and is the sleeper start at New England. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Monday Night Football at Gillette Stadium, showdown of two AFC division leaders. Ravens come into Foxborough to play the Patriots. Matt Chatham.
I'm going to go Patriots, 28-17. This is sort of hitting at about their averages where they normally come out. It'll be a tough-fought game. That one final score will put the difference there. But it's a Devin McCourty week. Why? Because Joe throws punts, and he's your guy roaming the field. He'll pick one of those off on one of the edges, getting over there where Joe didn't think he'd make it.
Well, you know, Matt's going to yell at me here, and I have a feeling I have a little bit more respect for Joe Flacco than Matt does. I do think he throws the ball downfield as well as anybody in football, and there are times that he forces it a little bit. I look at the Ravens' offense as developing under Morningweg, and what we saw against Miami is at all indicative of what they're capable of, I think they're going to win this game 27-23. It's going to be a hard-fought game. I think there's going to be a lot of field position involved, and I think Perriman is a guy. Breshad Perriman, the speed that they possess, it's not just one deep threat you have to take. I think he could be a key. I think the Ravens are going to come out of here with a win.
You are no Scott Solak.
That
no,
is not.
I'll never be invited back. Thank you for having me.
Enjoy your one-time
you.
Show.
Hey,
you're actually great. Paul Perillo filling in for Scott Solak. Appreciate it so much. Paul, Matt Chatham as well. We'll talk to you next week on Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.